Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring on a new guest and discuss a new aspect of the paranormal, or UFOs. And in this case, we have a very, very interesting topic. We're going to be talking to Hope Bradford, who's a clinical hypnotherapist and has written a very, very interesting book called The Living Word of Kuan Yin. Hello, everyone. Sorry about that. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. Over our heads, I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we discuss various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal, and we have a great show tonight. Our guest is Hope Bradford. She's a clinical hypnotherapist and has written this very, very interesting book called The Living Word of Kuan Yin. Now, I'm sure many of you out there have heard of the phenomena of channeling. And in fact, there's been quite a few very well-known cases. Probably the best known is that of Jane Roberts, who channeled an entity called Seth. And she eventually produced, I believe, like 15 or 20 books, which outlined the philosophy taught by Seth about creating your own reality, the importance of dreams, and various other things like this. Another very famous case is that of Jay-Z Knight, who channeled an entity called Ramtha. And this case is still actually ongoing, and there are many other cases like this. Channeling is a phenomenon I'm very interested in, because I think it's a valid phenomena, and that it provides people with a really strong connection to the spiritual worlds. So I'm very, very excited to have our guest tonight. Hope Bradford has actually been practicing clinical hypnotherapy for more than 20 years, and working, this is very interesting to me, in various metaphysical aspects, including past life regression, chakra work, visualizations, and things like this. And she has actually done hundreds of these types of sessions, and it was in 2004 when one of her clients, Lena Lees, actually began to channel Kuan Yin, who is apparently the goddess of love and compassion in Asia. And she has produced a number of amazing sessions, in which she has reproduced in her book, The Living Word of Kuan Yin. So I'm just so excited to be talking to her tonight. Hope, thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Preston. I'm very glad to be here today.
Well, your story is just so interesting. I read a lot of the, I didn't read the whole book, but I read a lot of the excerpts. And while I, you know, I'm just fascinated by channeled material. And so you got interested in hypnotherapy 20 years ago, doing this kind of work?
Yes, I did.
Well,
actually, my introduction to it was with past life regressions. I also was very interested in the Seth material, and I think that all began way back in the 70s when somebody just happened to hand me a Seth Speaks book,
right.
And it was a gradual evolution into that we have what I call parallel lives. I don't really call them past lives, and that people can tap into these lifetimes.
Wow, it's very interesting. So you decided to actually work at it professionally then?
Yes. Yeah, so starting around over 20 years ago, and it's just very interesting also to work from a belief aspect, in that many times you can trace beliefs that are impacting one's present reality in the other lifetime. So it's very helpful in that way.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So someone could have all these phobias, which you, or fears, or what have you, which they can trace directly to a previous lifetime. And
yeah, I've even had episodes where somebody has some physical pain, you know, that's coming up for them, and it actually had manifested in another life. Sometimes that is the case where they can trace it to a past life.
Right. Wow. Well, another story
of too, and fears, just like you said. They might be they might say, well, I don't know where this fear is coming from, and discover that there was an actual event in another life.
Wow. So how many patients have you worked with before you started working with Lena Lees?
Oh, I don't know. I can't say. And as is talked about in the book, it was just a complete surprise to me when I was working on a technique where you go to meet with your spiritual guides and you invite them in, and we went ahead and did that. I just facilitated her doing that, and unbeknownst to me, she'd always had an admiration for the Eastern deity of compassion, Kuan Yin, and so when she began, that's who came in, and that's where the conversation began, really.
Right. So, I mean, what's really interesting also about this sketch is you became interested in Kuan Yin and Asian paintings like a year before this, or painting Asian deities.
Oh, yes. I do oil paintings, and every so often I get out the canvas and the brush, and I just begin to paint what I believe are energies around me, and it could be just a color or a design or something, but sometimes it's a face too, and that's what I was doing a year or so before this ever even happened.
See, that's just fascinating. These little hints of stuff.
And I was also having dreams. I had an interesting dream where I was searching for a book in a bookstore, and the owner of the bookstore says, "Well, it's not here yet because you haven't written it."
Oh. Wow.
So I kind of thought, well, maybe something's on the horizon here that I couldn't even imagine what it was.
Right. You know, I had never heard of Kuan Yin until, you know, I actually started reading excerpts from your book. And mm-hmm. I love the title, The Living Word of Kuan Yin, because apparently Kuan Yin is well known, right? So
mm-hmm.
who exactly is Kuan Yin?
Oh, okay. And again, I had not much information about her either. Again, the paintings I was painting were, you know, later I said, well, this may be, you know, what I was doing, because I, you know, had no knowledge in my mind when I was painting that the fact that this is in the Chinese pantheon, Kuan Yin is the a very well-known goddess of compassion and mercy. And in the book, there's photos of Puto Shan, which is her island, actually. There's a temple there. And there have been many temples and sacred sites devoted to her. In fact, there's a portion of the book with a list of pilgrimage sites all over the world, really. And
wow.
There's many names for Kuan Yin. There's in the particular book we spell it capital K-U-A-N, capital Y-I-N, and that's two words, but I've seen it spelled Q-U-A-N-Y-I-N and K-W-A-N-Y-I-N and canon in Japan, and then the there's very various other long names, and the male Indian god, I can't really pronounce it. It's a long spelling.
Wow.
So there's just a really extensive history of this god goddess, because the story is that she evolved from a he, and in fact, in the book, there's a great deal of every time we had a session, Kuan Yin came as a different shapeshift. She came once with 1,000 arms, and she came once draped in a beautiful flowing gown, and the gown you know, opened up into the galaxy. It was just an amazing experience of how, and she's actually known for that in China. Again, I did not know that.
What do you mean?
When I was transcribing these sessions.
You say she came in this way. What do you mean, like that figuratively? I mean, did she actually act it out?
She would. Each session would begin with a hypnosis countdown, and Lena would say, "Well, she's standing here, and she's dressed such and such, or I'm in the palm of her hand. I'm very small, and I'm in the palm of her hand." Or,
oh,
you know,
wow.
She was experiencing this entity in so many ways. And tradition says that Kuan Yin has 33 shapes. I don't know if we experienced all the 33 shapes, but there were definitely sometimes she would transform into galaxies and so on. It was just an amazing experience.
Wow. So. I mean, what? Now, this is just such a fascinating story. So, Kuan Yin actually is offering these messages for everyone into this book.
Yes.
And so, according to Kuan Yin, are then the greatest reasons for suffering on Earth?
First of all, she wants us to, she says the main lesson here is acceptance of differences, but that we are in a collective agreement with the better than and the not enough and the survival of the fittest belief. That those three beliefs are what's dominating this reality right now, according to Kuan Yin.
Well, that makes sense, because there certainly is a lot of greed and suffering going on. But it seems like time to... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, I'm going, you know, as our discussion goes on, I'm going to try to read as many quotes as we have time for and that, you know, fit into the conversation.
Oh, that would be great, yeah, because I think our listeners would like to hear some of the direct quotes from her.
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of channelers, I love the message that a lot of the channelers bring. They're all, to me, pretty similar. And Kuan Yin talks about how we've consciously joined and chosen our earthly existence. And so if, why would anyone want to choose to come to Earth? I mean, why are we here, and what is the purpose of our life, according to Kuan Yin?
And just like I was talking about the shape-shifting, she came during one session to Lena as Botticelli's Venus, majestic on the half-shell, and she was stressing in that particular channeling the importance of bringing creativity into one's everyday life. She wants us to know that what she calls a realistic life, our everyday life, is our crowning spiritual experience, wherein we have the opportunity of extracting divinity from the mundane. And she wants to help. Yeah. She wants to help us transcend all that is materialistic.
It's fascinating because, I mean, she talks about how we're here to spiritualize matter,
mm-hmm.
and spiritualize our material existence. And I just thought that was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That is, you know, to learn how to effectively direct the creative force. She talks a lot in the book about the, quote, heaviness of the earth energy, and that there's layers of heaviness around the earth, and there's layers of similar kinds of layers around our bodies, and that we're working through these layers. She calls them layers of karma, and as we become more aware, you know, through our creative energy and through our experience here on Earth, we can make these indeed spiritualized matter and make it lighter.
Right. Very interesting. Now, she talks also a lot, I guess, about reincarnation and other lifetimes.
Yes.
Which is a universal belief, I think. I mean, it occurs in a lot of different cultures. I know here in the Western culture, I think a lot of people are skeptical, but your work, I think, and a lot of other people's work shows that it's a real phenomenon. I think there's actually a lot of evidence supporting this. And
mm-hmm.
I personally believe in past lives because, you know, I've had, like, out-of-body experiences in which I was
mm-hmm.
shown, I think, you know, my past lives. So I'm totally, you know, a believer in reincarnation. So what does Kuan Yin say about reincarnation and, you know, what's the purpose of it, and why are we, you know, manifesting all these different lifetimes?
Well, first of all, she, you know, we were going along with the, and I was just transcribing some of the words, and she was talking about that there is no time, first of all, and that we've already lived all our lives. So that in terms of reincarnation, they really, you know, the inference from that is that all these lives we're living are, in fact, going on simultaneously, which is, you know, in an in-time reality that we're living in, it is sometimes mind-boggling to imagine, but you know, it's the deal where we're trying to pinpoint our beliefs, and when we can pinpoint our beliefs, we can begin to frame our realities in the way we want to, and discover if something's working for us or not working for us. But that. In one section, she says we're the jugglers of the dream and the world of dreams, and that's a real challenging thing to do. But as we get more skilled at it, we start to influence all of these realities, and that this reality is the most important step in our evolution, which is was very interesting to me.
It was interesting.
Although, you know, maybe it shouldn't have been, because, you know, Seth talks about the point of power, you know, that this is the point of your point of power. Everything radiates from the now, from the present.
Well, there's definitely something to the present. I mean, because I think that's where most people's attention is focused. But I think if you're having out-of-body experiences,
mm-hmm.
I sort of have gotten a sense of how time is an illusion on the physical plane. And once you go out into the astral planes, you can see the future to a certain extent in the past just by calling on it or traveling
mm-hmm.
there in a way, which is hard
mm-hmm.
to describe. But time definitely flows differently on the other side. And the idea of parallel lives going on at the same time is really fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sort of puts a whole spin
exciting.
On it puts a whole different spin on how, you know, our parallel lives, so to speak, are affecting our present life.
Yeah. Just like we were talking earlier about, you know, in the regressions, how, you know, if somebody has this sort of undefinable fear that they can find the source of it in these other realities, or more succinctly, I think, in some, you know, breaking down the beliefs and finding out what is behind, you know, the mirror.
Right, right. Well, I liked some of the quotes Kuan Yin was talking about how people get trapped in similar lifetimes and start to bury themselves into their karma, which will eventually surface through, because there's an authentic self, which
mm-hmm.
is the soul, which is aware of all that's going on and has no worries, because this part of us knows that Earth life is very fleeting and our real self is actually on the other side, I guess, right?
Well, I was always very comforted by her mention of the authentic self also. I mean, and I totally resonate with that concept. I think Seth called it the all that is.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I think that these may be different terminologies and they may be talking about the same thing. I'm not sure, but, you know, that's what I suspect.
Right, right. I like a lot of the channelers say that the universe is basically a safe place and we can't be destroyed and we're just choosing our dramas to
mm-hmm.
learn from. So, which sounds to me like, you know, it seems to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
sort of what about the karma and the free will, huh?
Right. Yeah. That's just what I was gonna ask. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I was always very interested in definitions of karma, because I think a lot of times, I mean, I know I have in the past thought, you know, kind of equated karma with punishment, and I hear that from people sometimes, you know.
Oh yeah.
But,
I must have bad karma. This is happening to me.
Bad
I think
karma.
People,
yes. Or good.
I
hear good karma too, but but it's like. You know, it's let's see. It's a lot about
Kuan Yin
to emphasize that we have a lot of free will.
Right. That's just what I was going to say. Kuan Yin emphasizes that our tool against karma is our free will. Right.
What I get from her is that karma is really made up stories about ourselves. It's back to the belief thing. And so, you know, you have this idea of, you know, somebody might have an idea of who they are or aren't, you know, and and then they kind of carry that story on and on and on until it either works for them or it doesn't work for them. But they always have the free will to move on from that. They don't have to be stuck in that. So she calls it made-up stories, which is a little different from my understanding of traditional cause and effect. You know that if you did something in another lifetime, that you're going to have consequences for it in this lifetime, for instance. You know.
Right. How interesting.
And you know, my understanding of Seth was the same, that you always have free will. You know, there's not some designated fate, that you have to suffer or whatever. You know, that's my understanding of Seth. That's my understanding of Kuan Yin, that at any time you want to examine the beliefs that you're working from, you can. And that very initiation of such an examination is a huge turning point. It takes a lot of responsibility and self-responsibility, but it can be fascinating, and it can really open one's eyes, and it's totally liberating. I mean, she talks about one's path of liberation all the time, and that, we have this amazing opportunity here to direct our reality, and that's what we're here to do.
Well, yeah, you know, in Robert Monroe, he wrote a series of books about out-of-body travel, and he said that people who graduate from the Earth School are highly respected throughout the universe, and I could believe that.
I can believe that, too. And what Kuan Yin says, I don't have the chapter right here in front of me, but she talks about very advanced, very elevated energies. She likes to call them energies and not entities. You know, just looking down, you know, on Earth and saying, isn't it amazing how they suffer and are reborn, and according to Kuan Yin, and this was new to me, that they have a lot of fear about coming here, so they wait a long time. And my understanding, you know, and correct me if you have another understanding, Bodhisattva is someone who comes to Earth to help, to assist, but she insists that we've got to go travel through this Earth life to come to oneness and bliss, to nirvana, or whatever someone wants to call it. That this is sort of the portal. That's what she said. And that was quite an interesting thing for me to witness, because I didn't know that. Yeah. And it's just fascinating to compare the, like you said, the various channels and what they have to say, and kind of put the pieces together and see what fits and what works for you and what doesn't. But I really thought that was an interesting statement, that, you know, there's a lot of quite elevated energies hesitating about coming back or coming through here. And they're just hanging up there in the ethers or whatever.
Looking down on us. Well, you know, it's interesting. The channel is, like Seth, his main message was, you create your reality. And I think Ramtha, his main message was, you are gods and you have the, you know, unlimit yourself. Or I think Kuan Yin, which I really like about these channelings, is her main message is compassion and love and the power, you know, love and prayer and all of this. I mean, it's just sprinkled all throughout her writings. It's very,
thank you. I do too. It just was such a blessing and honor to be able to witness this and and have that element of love and compassion, because it was so, like you say, prevalent throughout, and I very much appreciated that too. And the channel herself, you know, we haven't talked too much about Lena, is I will always believe that the reason she was chosen was because she's exactly that kind of person. She's so compassionate and loving and so caring about the people on Earth. I know that's why Kuan Yin chose her. I know
Wow.
that in my heart, yes.
All right. Well, Kuan Yin, I mean, she says that we are here, the main reason we are here is to learn the power of compassion and love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
she says it's the most powerful, it is the most powerful force in the universe. I don't know if you saw that quote where she talks about her love and forgiveness principle, and she said if everyone were able to do that, sort of like, you know, resonate all at the same time with this love and forgiveness, that the earth would immediately be transformed. That was
wow.
just such a beautiful quote, and I believe it too. And I think that ties in, I think that's the essence of her spiritualization of matter, that it's that meditation right there that would lift, lighten, you know, she talks about lift everyone out of the darkness, out of the heaviness.
Right, right. This is just also fascinating. Everyone out there, you're listening to UFOs in the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and our guest tonight is Hope Bradford. She's a clinical hypnotherapist who has written this amazing book called The Living Word of Kuan Yin. That's K-U-A-N-Y-I-N, The Living Word of Kuan Yin, which I know is available on Amazon.com because I went to their site and looked at some of the amazing positive reviews you've gotten. There's one negative one there, but I didn't like that one review. Most of them are very positive, and really, this book is transforming people's lives. So it's... Do you have a website, or do you want to direct people to any other sites where they can go to get this book?
It's currently being paired on Amazon with The Law of Attraction. So the URL of the Amazon website itself is pretty long, but also
okay.
there's a community of, or there's actually, if you type in books and then type in Kuan Yin with a K-U-A-N, capital Y-I-N, there's a list of Kuan Yin books there. And it's the third one down right now, so and it can just be clicked on there. But, it was just a complete blessing to do this project. It was, you know, I feel... a life work in a lot of ways.
Wow. That's a very interesting story. So I imagine this has changed Lena's life to a certain extent as well. I mean, having all this come...
As I said, she's always, you know, been interested in Kuan Yin, but I think that these concepts, you know... it would be interesting because she, you know, when I would take her from trance state into waking state, she would have little remembrances of the material sometimes. Sometimes she didn't remember anything. And in one case, I remember she said, oh, I've got to quickly, you know, write this down because I don't want to forget it. I think... perhaps it's a lot like if you have a profound dream and you wake up and you know, there were some concepts in there and you want to, you know, write them right down before your what I call your beta mind, your waking mind takes over. But I would just tell her, well, I've got it. I wrote it all down. It's all here. Or, and in a lot of cases, I recorded it. So, but more than not, I think she simply didn't remember the material.
Isn't that interesting? Well, it's just fascinating that such.
But she got to read it later in the book.
Such profound material comes through this way. I know there are a lot of different channeled writings. The Color Purple by Alice Walker, you know, was a book first and was allegedly just completely channeled.
I didn't know that.
So there are a lot of other, you know, channelers. Patience Worth was a channeler who actually channeled several books. So they're very rare and hard to find now. But it's an interesting phenomenon that such amazing material can come out this way when the person who's actually doing it is unconscious of it.
It would be good to be able to have her be able to review it later. Mm-hmm.
Right. I've had the opportunity actually to visit several channelers, and
mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that the phenomenon is genuine because each of them actually picked up on my UFO connection. I'm a UFO researcher, and I've written a number of books, and each of them said the same thing, which surprised me, that was that I had past lives as an alien. Well, parallel lives, I guess, might be a better term, but they all picked up on that, which I thought was really interesting. So.
Yeah, that is, and it's just amazing. It's such a gift to have that information coming in from this, because most channels, I would suspect, are in the alpha or trance state, you know, which is, I talk a little bit about the five fields of consciousness, at least five, and indeed Kuan Yin does too in the book, on how she calls the alpha or trance state the healing state, and but there's, of course, the dream state, and there's also the superconscious state, you know, cycling above the waking state faster, and that's called the gamma. And that's where somebody's supercharged, you know, is the urban legend of somebody having super strength in an emergency situation, or even, you know, just some amazing athletic feats. And there are stories of survival where people are able to, it's almost like a instinctive part of ourselves that allow us to hone in on our, you know, the right direction to go in, for instance, if we're lost. There's been some stories of people hearing like guidance, you know, out of the wilderness, for instance. So that's something I've always been very fascinated in as well, not just the trance state, but also dreams and this gamma or super consciousness state.
Right, it's interesting. Well, I mean, how Kuan Yin describes how people basically overcome their karma going through these different states and eventually reach enlightenment. And I think there was one quote she said that incarnating on the earth in a physical body is critical for the attainment of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's fascinating. I mean, it really helps give meaning to your life and this suffering that you're going through and helps you overcome it, if you know what
I mean. And it also shows how sacred the body is, and that all. She talks a lot about the chakras too. As far as it's very another interesting part of it was that how the solar plexus. That a lot of people say that the heart is the center of the body, but she talks about the solar plexus as being the center, and how, you know, in certain tribes that you know, having a big stomach is the sign of wealth and power.
Right.
And that the stomach and the solar plexus is where we hold our power, and we also hold a lot of pain. The pain can migrate there if it's not pain from the heart and from past experiences can sink down into the solar plexus. And she talks a lot about chakras and sound healing and such, that we're all made of sound. That was so great. She's saying that all of us are made of sound.
Wow, how interesting. There's all these, I love just the little quotes she gives out, because, I mean, she touches on so many different topics, and she says, like, praying for other people and the earth is the most powerful thing a person can do. Or
yeah.
Talking about good and evil, she said, you think that just because there's an absence of good, for instance, that evil exists. This is not so. And, I mean, she talked also a lot about earth changes, which I think is very interesting, because we're really apparently experiencing earth changes right now. And this is a real phenomenon. You know, a lot of the channelers talk about earth changes, as do near-death experiencers, out-of-body travelers, the Native American elders, and the scientists. I mean, everywhere you go for true knowledge, they're talking about these major earth changes we're apparently going to experience even more of. So what exactly does Kuan Yin, what's her perspective on all the earth changes that are going on?
This is a huge subject, and once again, Kuan Yin maintains that our current state of affairs have everything to do with the limiting beliefs, the better than, not enough, and the very competitive belief, survival of the fittest. Throughout the sessions, however, she has stated that acceptance of differences is an important lesson here on Earth. And of course, what she's just said, that the terms good and evil are but one set of dualisms inherent in our language. She teaches that we are all divine beings having come to Earth to gain potency, to learn compassion, and direct the creative force. And this is a direct quote from her, saying, the truth is one must be fully human for the divine part of self to be more in tune. Rejecting the human body assures one will have to come back, return to the lessons here on Earth. It means, quote, you didn't get it. The indigenous tribes are the most powerful, as many of them are so in harmony with nature as to be really, really divinely human. They're so in touch with their humanity that they're totally in tune with their diva nature. They know that the human-animal harmony is the crux of spirituality. Of course, there's always the criticism that better-than mindset. Humans say they're better than each other, and they say they're better than nature, and I think this is what you were referring to as far as the earth changes. But they're not. It's ludicrous to compare the intelligence of other living creatures to human intelligence. Plants have enormous intelligence and spirituality. However, the better-than mindset greatly contributes to the ongoing environmental destruction.
Wow. Yeah. It's really unfortunate, but it looks like we're really in for it. And, because, I mean, she talks about how the oil families and their power over, you know, what their cause on all of this. But apparently we're all just, you know, part of the God force living on our adventures, right?
Well, and she says there's a lot of healing going on right now, though, too. She's saying that, you know, the movies and books and information that's coming out now, you know, it's sort of like a... little by little, this information is there'll be a big breakthrough, a big realization, and that a lot of people are here right now to gain healing and wisdom. It's a very, she calls it a very potent time.
Oh, really? So it's a blessing to be born in this time?
Yes, yes. And you know, she appreciates so much the, you know, when kindness and compassion and when people care about the earth and about each other. She talks about that a lot.
Wow. Well, it's very, very interesting story. And so is Lena still actually channeling Kuan Yin?
She's off doing other things in her life right now. You know, we haven't actually talked about any other projects at this time, but you know, there's such a strong connection there that it's always an enjoyable experience if it should come about. She's very, very busy right now.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I love the quotes. Here's another quote from Kuan Yin, which says, "Human mistakes and inaccuracies are no less important than divinity. The incredible process of being human allows for the higher self to acknowledge and extract divinity from one's trials and tribulations," which again gives meaning to our lives and helps us understand why we're here and the suffering we have to go through.
Yeah, I love that quote because, you know, so many people are worried about, you know, that they're going to make a mistake or they're not on the right path or, and so on and so forth. And that just sort of swept all those concerns away, that everything is a learning experience and that we're all going towards this our divine self, this authentic self.
Right. And that the present moment is our escape hatch out of our limiting beliefs and out of our karma, or our perceived karma.
That's our present point here is, you know, the decisions that we make and the beliefs that we choose to act on and so forth are so important.
Right. Well,
our intentions, too.
That's good because, I mean, it's never too late then. I mean, no matter what your karma is, you can still become enlightened in the snap of a finger.
That's the feeling I got, that it is never too late and that there's just available to everyone here on Earth and probably in the universe, too. I don't know, but, I mean, she was specifically addressing the Earth situation, that we all have free will. And you're right, it's never too late.
Right. Well, what I love about all the channeling messages is they're very, very positive, and that's definitely a good thing. We're reaching, you know, we just have like, you know, 5 or so more minutes. So, do you have any other quotes that you want to read from Kuan Yin?
Oh, okay. I have my book right here, and
I mean, it's just so interesting.
Yeah, there's quite a few. We only have 5 minutes, huh? I think that this was an important quote for me. It's not a matter of how much pain or suffering one experiences that deems one worthy. It's not how productive one is either. And then in another quote, she just says, Loving everyone is what's the most important thing. And then in another quote, she says, "Loving the children is important, but love everyone as you would the children."
Wow. I just love the way that her whole message is love. I mean, cause
yes.
I've always thought that love is the strongest force in the universe. Seriously.
Yes. Yeah. And there's another quote. It says, "Kuan Yin is saying that everyone can access what he or she needs from the other side," you know, meaning the spirit side. "It is vital to living, like blood in the body."
Wow. interesting.
And in a response to Lena's question as to why we're here, Kuan Yin said, "You must acknowledge and experience this part of the universe. Karma is intricate, too vast. You would, with your limited human senses, consider it too unfair. But you have tools to really, truly love."
Very, very, very nice.
And we didn't really cover, well, we covered it in the sense of reincarnation, right? But she talks a lot about how the fear of death, you know, inhibits us from truly, you know, experiencing our humanity. And here she's kind of addressing that. She says, "I want to emphasize here that only the body dies. People get too attached to their physicality. However, they have to. One's consciousness of the physical must be fairly strong in order for the soul's desire to continue. The more we feel our humanity, the more help we can give and the more joy we can create."
Wow. See, all of this makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And and maybe the last, I don't know how much time we have, but one thing, you know, you hear a lot these days about gratefulness. And she has a section, I think it's called, "Don't Forget to Marvel at the Wonders of the World." And, you know, that's a lot like gratefulness. And she says, here she says, "Gain strength, suck up energy, make a point to appreciate the fragrance of the flowers and the beauty of the sunset. It's like armor, and then you're armed with an ability to be detached. One is meant to forgive and be compassionate. Raise your voice in protest while maintaining your detachment."
Well, you know, that's interesting. Detachment, that's something that a lot of the spiritual masters talk about.
Mm-hmm. He talks about detached compassion in that. And, oh, the most wonderful quote was about compassion for the untruth. Did you read about that, Preston?
I may have.
Yeah, that was a terminology I just had never heard anywhere before. Compassion for the untruth.
Wow, it's very, very... You know, it's just such a fascinating story, and I'm so glad that you came forward and wrote this book, and I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people. It's just a fascinating story and just really amazing information, and I think it's unique in its own way, but still echoes a lot of what, you know, other people who have researched this area have discovered. So it's just really a very nice message.
Well, thank you for inviting me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Now we just have like 1 minute left. Is there any last message you want to leave with our listeners?
Oh, this is an interesting one. He said, "You can't change people. You can love them and give to them. If they can't receive it, it's not a reason not to love them, unless impossible conditions have been set upon the relationship. Unless it is a kind of conditional love."
Fascinating. Well, thanks, Hope. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. You were a great guest, and you have an amazing story. I hope your book does really well, because it definitely deserves to be widely read.
Thank you, Preston.
All right, everyone. Well, that's our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed listening to our guest, Hope Bradford, who has written this really profound book, The Living Word of Kuan Yin. That's Kuanyin, The Living Word of Kuan Yin, which is available on Amazon.com and hopefully at bookstores near you. If it's not there, ask them to order it. Well, that's it. I hope you can join us next week when our guest is Marla Phillips, and we're going to be talking about psychic healing. She's got a really amazing and profound story. So I hope you can join us, and until then, have a wonderful evening.